Blog Talk Radio.
All right.
Go ahead, Bizarre. You're on.
Okay. All right. This is Bizarre. This is Bizarre. Watchman on the wall. End time. Radio ministry coming to you from Warren, Ohio. This is Elder G. Bizarre, carrying the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is the one that's coming back in power and in great glory. Jesus Christ is soon to come. I know to the world and to some of the church folks, I know it sounds like a riddle, but it's not a riddle. It's not a wolf cry. It is the truth. Christ is on his way back. On his way back to what? Judge the world in righteousness. The world do not want to receive Christ. They don't want him to come down here the second time. The first time he came to die. The second time he's come, he's coming to judge. He's going to judge the world. And the judgment is going to start at the household of faith. It's going to start at the church. It's going to start at the churches. God is judging the churches now. During the tribulation period, he's going to judge the world. He's going to judge Israel. He's going to judge the town nations. For 7 years, there's going to be a seven-year tribulation period where Christ will let Satan take over the world. Now, I know that sounds kind of crazy, but see, the devil is in control with humanity today. That's why the world is in such a mess. The reason the world is such a mess is because the world and the population wants to reject, don't want Christ to come back, don't believe in salvation, don't believe in holiness, don't believe that Jesus Christ is capable enough of coming back to this world. But he's coming back, he's coming back, he's coming back, and he's coming back real soon. And I'm telling you now, it ain't going to be pretty. It ain't going to be pretty for the sinner man. It ain't going to be pretty for the hypocrite. And it ain't going to be pretty for no one but the church, those that are born again. That's the only hope that the church has. Those that are saved is the only hope they have through Jesus Christ. But those that reject Christ, there's no other hope but the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, this is Elder Bizarre. This is G.E. Bizarre coming to you from Warren, Ohio, going on down there into Atlanta, Georgia. Block Talk Radio, and I'm here to tell you right now, stay tuned. As I go in prayer, we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about the end time, 70th week. The 70th week spoken by Daniel the prophet. We are standing on it right now. It's getting ready to be opened up. The seven-year tribulation is right on the cue, right on the edge. The only thing that's holding us back is the body of Christ. The body of Christ has to be removed. I'll say it again. The body of Christ has to be removed before the seventh week began. And now we're living and getting ready for the seventh week. Father, we come to you right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your love and your mercy. We ask you right now, Lord, as we go into this study, that we will be able to understand that you are soon to come. The world is on its last leg. It's in intensive care. Men are not concerned about this year's return of Christ. We've been talking about it for almost, 2,000 years since the birth, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ right now is preparing to come back to judge the world. We thank you for it, Lord. We are yearning for it. We ask you to come quickly. Why? Because time is running out. And we ask you right now, as I go into this lesson, that those that are listening will understand what thus says the Lord God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Elder Bizarre. Brother Tim was supposed to come on with me tonight. I don't know if he's in or not. But if he's not, then we're going to go on anyway. And he may come in later. And whatever needs to be said, amen. We're going to say it out of the word of God. We out of we coming directly out of the word of God. And we want to know, what is the problem with revelation? Why is it that people don't want to come out of revelation? How come they don't want to have to face this revelation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? What is the problem? Well, the problem is Revelation talks about judgment, judgment upon the world. And people don't like judgment by God. They don't want the judgment of God to come back. They don't want the world to be judged by God. They want to judge their own self. They want somebody else to come that won't be so economical to understand. But we realize that Revelation reveals three events that's going to happen. First, you've got 2,000 years of church history. 2,000 years of church history is revealed in Revelation. From the first chapter to the third chapter covers the period of 2,000 years. 2,000 years that the church has been on the earth, and now we're in the last day. We're in the close of the church age. We're in the close of the 2,000 years in which the church age has been fulfilled. We're living in the last church age. In the book of Revelation, the last church age is called Laodicea. It is called the lukewarm church, the church that has a form of godliness, but they don't have no power. They do not have the power of God. They do not recognize the holiness of God. They do not understand the righteousness of God. They are trying to work their way to heaven. They're trying to do good deeds. They're trying to make heaven their home by their own religion. And it's not working. It can't work because the church cannot function without the Holy Ghost. It can't function. It won't do right. It won't walk right. It won't live right. The Holy Ghost is the only power that can give an individual the righteousness of Christ. So now the church is in a lackadaisy. I don't care. He ain't coming back. We're going to have parties. We're going to do what we want to do. Oh, if he was coming back, he should have came back a long time ago. That's what a lot of church folks are saying. That's what the false church is saying. The false church said, no, it ain't going to happen. The rapture is not going to happen. But as sure as you're born, as sure as I'm standing here, sitting here, announcing to you, Jesus Christ is getting ready to rapture the church. This is one reason why people don't believe that what? The rapture is occurring and it's going to occur because they want to continue on to live on this earth in all this filthiness, all this unrighteousness, all this lewdness, all this killing, all this murdering, all this whoremongering, all this fornication, all this baby killing. Everything you see today is loot, is rotten. And the world has become rotten to the core because men have forsaken the righteous Jesus Christ, the one that died on Calvary's cross to save you from sin. They don't want to be saved. No, they don't want to be saved. They don't want to be redeemed. And so now the world is saying to Jesus Christ, stay in heaven. Don't come down here. We don't need you. But there's a day coming when the Bible says, not what I say, not what I think, not what I done jarred up or fixed up. He said, in a moment, in a moment, in a moment, in a moment of a twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ will rise, and we that remain alive shall be caught to meet the Lord in the air in a split second. I say the spit sucking, the church of the living God, the one that has been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Satan does not like the book of Revelation, and here's one reason. Here's one reason why he does not like it. In the 20th chapter of Revelation, the 20th chapter says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand." This isn't an angel. This is an angel from heaven. And this angel has a great authority in his hand, which represents the chain. The chain represents incarceration. This angel in the spiritual realm, listen to me, in the spiritual realm will come down with great authority. And in the second verse it says, "And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. This is the lockup of the devil. You see, the devil knows that Revelation is his lockup time. That's when the devil is going to be bound by a great authority angel with a chain of authority in his hand, and he's going to lay his hand on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Going to lock him up. Lock him up. I'm going to lock that crud up. Because 6,000 years Satan had roamed through the world, through the earth, through the atmosphere, inside the earth and outside the earth. He is called the prince power of the air. He had roamed and tore up everything he touches because he is a destroyer. He is a murderer and he is a liar. And now he sees, he knows in Revelation that he's going to be bound in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Listen what it says. Listen what it says. "And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. After that, he must be loosed." You see, Satan has been loose for 6,000 years. Loose as a goose. And the only thing that he has done since he was here from the Garden of Eden until 2021-22, he has killed, he has robbed, and he has destroyed. He has to destroy anything he gets his hand on. Anything that he can tear up, he has done it. And he now is finding out that he's going to be bound in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. The 1,000 years is lockup time. Lock him up! Because he is doomed for a place that's called Gehenna. Gehenna is considered and is the lake of fire that burneth with brimstone. He knows he's on his way to hell. And in Revelation, the 20th chapter, we find that now, before he gets to Gehenna, he's going to be locked up in the bottomless pit and be bound in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, and Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. Lucifer, Satan, Beelzebub, the old dragon, the red dragon, is going to be locked up and incarcerated for 1,000 years, and all, this is what I'm saying, all of his demons, all of his cohorts, all of his wicked spirits and entities that have been on this planet for the last 6,000 years, he's doomed. He's going to hell. He's going to burn in hell. He's going to burn in hell forever. And what Satan is trying to do, and he's doing it, he's trying to deceive the world and everybody on the planet to follow his technique and follow him, because he knows that man has an opportunity to escape hell. Man has an opportunity to escape hell. And the only way that any human being can escape hell's fire, the only way, there ain't no other way. You can't name no religion. Y'all don't hear me. Listen to me, son. You can't name one religion that you can escape and have the answer to how to escape hell. You can't escape. The Bible said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation that was once delivered by the prophet, but now in the last days delivered by the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Listen, there is no denomination. There is no occult. There is no religion that can escape hell's fire. Hell's fire, there's no religion that can escape hell's fire, period. There's no man and no religion that has the answer how to escape hell's fire. Jesus Christ said, he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man, good God Almighty, no man can get to the Father unless he comes by Jesus Christ. You got to come by the cross of Christ. Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago, and now he's sitting on the right-hand side of the Father, and he's getting ready to come back the second time, and the second time is not going to be pretty. It wasn't pretty when it came the first time because the whole world slaughtered him and nailed him to a cross and put him in the grave and left him there for dead and figured that he's never going to come back from the dead. But Jesus Christ said, I have power enough to lay down my life, and I got power enough to pick it up again, and I received that of my Father. And Jesus Christ got up from the grave on the third day morning with all power in heaven and earth in his hand, and he's been gone for 2,000 years, and the church has been on this earth for 2,000 years, but now we at the last church age, Laodicea, and that church age that we're living in is corrupt because the church has become like the world, and the world has brought in all kinds of different doctors in the church to tell the church this is how we're going to live. We're going to live the way we want to live. We're going to preach what we want to preach. We're going to tell the people what we want to hear. But that's not the church. That's the false church. That's the false church. The false church. We've got over 3,000 different kinds of religions and occult claim to know Christ. But you can't know Jesus Christ until you come to him. You can't know Jesus Christ until you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead, and the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. You cannot be saved. There's no other name than the name of Jesus Christ. Christ is the key. Through his shed blood and his suffering and his death and his burial. And they tell me this is the only man ever in history got up out the grave on his own power. And the only way he could have did that, he had to be God. You hear what I said? He had to be God. Because God is the only one that's capable enough of resurrecting himself. Because he got all power in heaven and earth in his hand. And he came out of the grave with a glorified body. And he said, now I got all power in heaven and earth because he has died for the sins of humanity. He paid the price, the whole price, for every individual on this planet. He paid the price. He paid the price. He paid the price. There's no other price that could be paid to save man and redeem him from sin but the blood of Jesus Christ. And the devil comes along, and he brings all kinds of occults. He brings all kinds of denominations. He brings all kinds of doctrines of devils and doctrines of imps and doctrines of cohorts. He brings all kinds of wickedness up on the face of the earth to claim this is the way that you can go to heaven. Lord, have mercy. Don't you see what the world is doing now? Listen what we got. We got the atheists that believe that there's no such thing as God Almighty. They don't believe there's an eternal spirit. There is an eternal person. There's an eternal Godhead that was here before the world began. He was here from eternity to eternity. He is here because he is self-existent. God is self-existent. He don't need nobody to keep him alive. He don't need no funeral parlor. He don't need no grave. He don't need no ceremony. He don't need no eulogy. Why? Because he's God, and there is no beginning to him, and there is no end to him. And now he rules the world and everything therein. And the people out, if he rules the world, what's wrong with the people? The people don't want to be ruled by God. They don't want God over them. People don't want the loving Savior. They don't want to accept Jesus Christ. They don't want Christ in their life. The reason they don't want Christ in their life, because the life they live in, they're trying to enjoy, claiming is the only way that I can enjoy this life, and I'm not worried about the next life, but the next life is the most important life. Because if you leave this world, if you leave this world, if you leave this world without accepting the shed blood of Jesus Christ, you will, absolutely will, bust hell wide open. This is Brother Bizarre talking. The Bible says, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. Jesus Christ said, if any man try to find another way to go to heaven, he's a thief and a robber. We got the atheists who don't believe in God. We got the New Age movement that live any kind of way that they want to live and call themselves Christians, and believe that God is going to accept that kind of lifestyle, and that God is going to accept that kind of thinking and living, and God is not going to accept no filthy, low-down, dirty, rotten, stinking, unbelieving sinner come into the glory of God. That's why Jesus Christ came down here to die for the low-down, dirty, rotten, unbelieving, backbiting, unsaved sinners. He come to save sinners, S-I-N-N-E-R-S. And a sinner is a person that have never, never had a divine relationship with Jesus Christ through the salvation that he brought on the cross. You are a sinner if you don't know Jesus Christ. Woo! You were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. Did your mother conceive you? We got Buddha. We got Buddha running around with a statue that can't walk, can't talk, can't even see, can't even think, and people are worshiping Buddha. We got Judaism, which is the only Old Testament religion or way that God was able to deal with Israel under the law. Under the law, they had to offer sacrifices of the animal and shed blood of bullocks and turtle doves for the remission of their sin, just to cover their sin. It was a type and shadow of a better sacrifice, a better sacrifice. And the only sacrifice that was better than bulls and turtle doves and goats and all kinds of clean animals to shed their blood, the only blood that had power enough not just to cover sin, but to take sin out of your soul, take sin out of your spirit, take sin out of your mind, and take sin and destroy sin and the works of the devil. The only thing can do that is the blood of Christ. And so Judaism right now is uninfected. It can't do nothing. Only in the Old Testament was it used. But when Christ came, Judaism was done away with. There's no more Judaism, amen, to bring back anybody in contact with God Almighty, because now God became man, shed his blood for us, that through him we can only be saved. So Judaism is no longer effective. We got Shintoism, occult. We got Mormonism. We got unity. We got Satanist churches. We got Taoism. We got denomination churches. We got the Lutherans. We got Christian Scientists. We got Jehovah Witness occult. We got the Nazarenes. We got the Muslims. We got Methodists. We got Fashionism. We got the Catholics. We got non-denom. We got Church of God. We got Baptists. We got the KKK. We got Nazism. We got Armstrongism. We got voodoo. We got witchcraft. These are religions. We got homosexual, lesbian, and incest, where men are going with men and women with women, and they believe that God is going to accept this kind of lifestyle. Well, they're fooling themselves, and they're fooling their neighbors. They're fooling their own self and believe that God is going to accept this kind of lifestyle, and he's not going to do it. He just ain't going to do it. And you can't change God. He's not going to compromise with it. The only way that you can come to Jesus Christ and turn away from that kind of lifestyle is come to Jesus and repent of your sin and let Jesus Christ come into your life. Let Christ come into your life and save your soul. Save your soul from what? Sin and damnation. Because sin will never enter into the kingdom of God. Your soul will never enter the kingdom of God unless your soul, your spirit have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and you have repented of your sins, and you have confessed with your mouth, and you believe with your heart, and a repentant spirit turn from your wicked ways and ask Jesus Christ to come in and wash you and make you clean and become a new born again believer. Amen. That you will know that you know that you know that you've been born again. Guess what? You will never enter the kingdom of God. You will go to hell and will have to pay for your own sins in hell. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The wages of sin is death, meaning that you will be cut off from God forever. You will be separated from God forever. If you don't want God here, through Jesus Christ, if you don't accept Jesus Christ right here, this day, this hour, this minute, this second, when you die in your sins, you will have to pay for your own sin. And the book of Revelation tells you exactly where sin is going to end up at. It's going to end up in the lake of fire. The devil and his angels are going to go to hell and cast into the lake of fire. But before they get to that place, they first have to be bound for 1,000 years in the bottomless pit. And there are religions today, I named about 30 of them. There are religions today that is false. There's over 3,000 different kinds of religions, and none of them occult religions acknowledge who Christ is. And the Bible says Christ, Jesus Christ, is God's son. Beloved, begotten son, meaning that Jesus Christ is, you hear what I said? He is God, not was God, but is God, always have been in God until he was manifested in the flesh. And when he was manifested in the flesh, that was God in the flesh. That was God on the cross in the flesh. His name, Jesus Christ, it was God who suffered through the flesh, through Christ, that he would die as I die, that I can die. He can die as a human being, but that death brought salvation because he paid. Good God Almighty, he paid the penalty. He paid it. He was whipped, beaten, ostracized, criticized. He was stripped down almost naked, and they whipped him with 39 lashes. They beat his face in. They spat up on him. They put a crown of thorns up in his head. He didn't say a mumbling word. He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Because he knew that if he didn't go to the cross, if he didn't suffer and die and get up from the grave, guess what would happen? The whole creation would have no way to escape the wrath of God because there was no sacrifice. And Jesus Christ made a way, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ made a way that a man could escape the wrath of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, because Christ paid the price. And the price was right. It was right because Satan knew if he get rid of Jesus, he could eliminate the plan of salvation. But he said, I would have to kill him. And he made sure through the Jewish people and through the Gentile nation that Jesus Christ would not be able to live on this planet and go back to heaven. We are going to kill him. We are going to take him to the slaughter like a dumb lamb. And we're going to whip him to a pulp. We're going to kick him. We're going to spit on him. We're going to strip him down almost in a new dress and nail his hands to a piece of timber and his feet. And we're going to pierce him in the side. And we're going to wag our heads like greedy dogs. And we are going to get rid of this. Because
Amen.
Satan knew the only way that he could get rid of Jesus temporarily. Temporarily. Thank you, brother. I'm glad you come on in. Temporarily.
Amen.
Amen. Is that if I can get rid of Jesus Christ, I got it made. I can shut the whole creation down and take every soul to hell with me. I can take Abraham with me. I can take Jacob with me. I can take all the patriarchs with me. I can take all the apostles with me. Why? Because there was no sacrifice for sin. And if I get rid of Jesus, buddy, I got a name. But what he did the wrong thing. He tried to get rid of him, but he didn't recognize what Jesus was saying. He said, I got power enough to lay down my life. You ain't taking my life. I got power to lay my life down, and I got power to pick my life up. And no other man in human history, good God Almighty, no other man in human history. And the reason there's no other man, because Jesus Christ was more than just a human being. He was God in the flesh. In the
Amen.
Flesh. He was a real deal to take the punishment for sin. And take all that lying and all that backbiting, all that whoremongering, all that cheating, all that fornication, all that drug, all that alcohol, all that lying spirit that you've been carrying around you for years. He died for that. He paid the price for that. And it caused him to be put to death. But on the third day morning, he got up out the grave with all power in heaven and in earth in his hands. And the world today don't want it. They will say, we don't want to believe it. We don't want to accept it. We just going to find another way to get to heaven. We're going to find another way to be saved. We're going to find another way to shout. We're going to find another way to speak in tongues. We're going to find another way just to go to church and see, can we speak on into the glory of God? No, you can't. You ain't going. I don't care.
Amen.
You ain't going, and I didn't say it. Jesus Christ said, no man can get to the Father. You've got to come by Christ. You've got to come by the royal diadem. You've got to come by the nail-scarred hands. You've got to come by the nail-scarred feet. You've got to come by the pierced side. You've got to come by the sweat brow on his head. You've got to come by his throne, the thorns on his head. You've got to come by when he dropped his head between the locks of his shoulder and gave up the ghost and said, it is finished. It's done.
Amen.
I can't go no more. And God can't do no more. He done all he could do. He done died and got up from the grave, and people still trying to say that I can get to heaven just by being pretty, just by being white, or just by being black, or just by being poor. I can get to heaven if I sang in the choir for 40 years. I can get to heaven if I preach for 40 years. No, you can't. I don't care what you do. You've got to come by the cross, brothers and sisters. And I love it, every one of you out there. And I'm not preaching off the top of my head. I'm preaching from the bottom of my heart, because I know what I'm talking about when it comes about salvation.
Amen.
There is no other name given under heaven whereby men can be saved. I don't care if it's T.J.'s. I don't care if it's all the little fake, corny corny preachers that's preaching everything but salvation. They ain't preaching nothing. They're preaching prosperity and motivation speeches and telling folks, oh, just be rich, and have a happy time, and then die and go to heaven. You ain't going nowhere until you come to Jesus Christ. You got to come to him in the repentant spirit. And that's why the world don't want Revelation to be preached, because the devil knows that's the end of his road. 6,000 years he don't fool around.
That's right.
And he fool around in heaven. Fool around in heaven and didn't get what he want. Then come down here on earth and disrupt man and his fellowship with God. And there's a battle going on between God and Satan and the human being. Why? Because God is fighting for souls. And he done died for souls. Show me in the Bible where Satan died. Show me in the Bible where Satan was nailed to the cross. Show me in the Bible where Satan did miracles. If he did do miracles, they were phony crackpots. And he's doing miracles today, and ain't nothing but a crackpot. He's announcing false salvation. He's trying to work his way to heaven. Well, let me tell you, you can work your fingers to the bone. You can work yourself until you turn to a skeleton and die. You still going to hell. Why?
Amen.
Because your works ain't gonna get you to heaven. You're not saved by works.
Come on,
you're saved by what? The grace of God.
That's right. That's right.
The love of God. You're saved by his scarred hands. You're saved by his tears in his eyes in the Garden of Gethsemane. You're saved by when he said, Father, forgive them, but they know what they do. He could have called 72,000 angels, got off the cross and destroyed the whole world, went on back to heaven into eternity and forgot about the whole thing. But John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world that he gave. Good God Almighty. He gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him shall never perish. And I'm so glad that he picked me up and turned me around, put my foot on solid ground. And I love the book of Revelation. In fact, I love the whole Bible because it's authentic. It's genuine. I ain't backing up on nothing. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, if you're not listening to me out there, it's going to be a shame on you after a while, because the rapture is getting ready to occur. The rapture is getting ready to occur. It's getting ready to come on scene. It's going to be like a twinkling of an eye. It ain't going to be no slow folk thing. If you like stuff, if you think there's going to be a slow motion rapture, woo, you a fool. And I say that in love. I don't say that in hate. I say that you a fool if you think there's going to be a slow motion rapture, that when the rapture comes, you have time enough to get yourself ready. If you ain't ready now, you better get ready. Because
amen.
When the rapture comes, it's going to be so fast, you ain't going to know what hits you. The world ain't going to know what hits you. And then all the laughing, all the crackling, all the mockers, and all the unbelievers, all the liars, all the church-going folks, all the hypocrites, and all those that have denied that sacrificial death of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, their face is going to turn blue.
Amen.
Their eyes are going to open up. They're going to have heart attacks, and they're going to have all kind of ailments. They're going to say, this ain't true. They think they're going to be dreaming, but this ain't going to be no dream. This is going to be the real deal. And the real deal is Satan is going to be bound in the 20th chapter of Revelation.
Mm.
And Satan knows that. Satan knows that. He's on his way down. And if you're serving Satan, if you're walking in unbelief, if you deny Jesus Christ, you are a child of the devil.
Come on now.
I don't care how sweet you are, how beautiful you are, how white you are, how black you are, how smart you are, how unique you are. If you don't know Christ as your Savior and you claim him and you're not ashamed of him and you are proclaiming him wherever you go, guess what? If you haven't been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, you are going to burn in hell. Hell is a place for the angels and the devil and all his cohorts.
That's right.
It wasn't made for mankind. It was made
for
Satan. And Satan said, I don't want to go there by myself. I don't want to take just my angels, because angels can't be redeemed. Lucifer can't be redeemed. Mankind can't be redeemed. mankind to be brought back into the right relationship with Jesus Christ by the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. Satan knows that. And he trembles at that. And he knows in the 20th chapter, oh yeah, he got his own Bible. Don't you think the devil, he knows the Bible. He knows it better than you. He knows where he is.
Right.
He's headed straight for hell. There ain't no backing up. Ain't no detours. Ain't no waiting. He's headed for the bottomless pit. After the 7 years of tribulation, he's going to be put in the bottomless pit. But before the tribulation is over, he's going to rule this world for 7 years. And the last 3.5 years, he's going to take full control of the economical system, the political system, economy system, and
religious
system. He's going to have full control of the world, and people are going to believe that this man is God Almighty. Oh, I wish you would listen to me. I wish you'd take the wax out of your ears. I wish you'd turn that radio, whatever you got, turn it up. Because I'm not guaranteeing you I'll be here next month. I ain't guarantee you nothing. I might
Come
be gone. And the way I feel about it right now, I put everything on the table. I put everything, brothers and sisters, I put everything on the table. I put my house, my car, my little small bank account I got, and anything else I got, my little grass cutters I got, I put it on the table. I will not back up that this year in September is going to be horrific. It's going to be bad news for the lost. It's going to be good news for the saved.
Amen.
You hear what I said? Now, church member, I say saved, S-A-V-E-D, from what? Sin. And Satan said, and I'm gonna let your brother have it. Amen. About 5 minutes, I'm going to let him have it because I haven't heard it for a while. I'm going to let him come on in and put the hammer down. But why? Because he's preaching the same thing I'm preaching. Woo! He's got the same mind I got, and I got the same mind God got, and we all got that same, not idea, but fact.
Amen. Church,
you better get ready, because I ain't playing, and Brother Tim ain't playing. I'm serious about this.
Oh, now.
This thing is coming to pass because everything that you see now that's happening is quieting it down. And everybody think everything's going to be all right. But before the storm comes, there is a calmness.
Yeah,
and
come
people
on.
Today in the church, preachers today, ain't looking for nothing but to live a next day and a next year and another decade. But this decade will not finish until the tribulation starts. And the tribulation starts at the minute that the church is raptured up. And when it's raptured up, that starts the 7-year tribulation that ends in 2029 that fulfills 6,000 years. That God has worked with the human race to bring them back in the right relationship with himself through Jesus Christ. He don't gave Satan time. He don't gave the human race time. He don't gave the teenagers time. He don't gave church members time. He don't gave everybody on this planet time enough to recognize who he is.
That's right.
And the world will not recognize who he is. And so he said, time is up. I'm coming to remove my body.
Amen.
My body has been on this earth for 6,000 years, and it has taken a beating. My people have been killed, raped. They have been locked up in lion's den. They have been hung upside down. They have been beheaded. I'm getting a little tired of it now, and I'm going to deliver my body from the wrath of God Almighty. Because after the rapture of the church, Satan will take over the planet. There ain't no president coming to make anything any better. ain't no new disease that already been here, because all of them are here already, and there's going to be an outbreak of diseases after the rapture of the church, because it's going to cause a food shortage, it's going to cause war, it's going to cause pestilence and diseases, it's going to cause storms and tornadoes and hurricanes, it's going to cause all kinds of travail that will bring up on the planet. And the only way that you can escape during the tribulation period is that you still got to accept Jesus Christ.
That's because right.
Souls will be saved. Souls will be saved after the rapture. Through what? And I'm getting ready to bring it over to the brother. The only salvation that you will hear after the rapture now is the 144,000 and the two witnesses that will prophesy 3.5 years. And another 3.5 years. You are going to hear the gospel like God wanted to be heard through the Jewish people. And the Jews is going to cause a shakeup, going to turn the world upside down. And 28 judgments are going to fall on this planet. That's why people don't want Revelation to be preached, because it will scare the hell out of you.
That's right.
It'll put fear in you to recognize that you need to come to Jesus Christ. It'll put a fear in you knowing that you've been fooling around for years and years. You've been fooling around for the last 3 or 4 days. But if you hear the gospel, if you hear this gospel message today, amen, you ought to fall on your knees and call on the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and say, Lord Jesus, save my soul. I'm tired of this church membership. I'm tired of just having a form of gospel and got no power. And that's the power of love. If you don't have no love, hell is waiting for you. And I'm talking about God.
Come on.
I'm not talking about your self-love. I'm talking about God's divine love. And his love, is far above any love that I know. He loved me so much, I call him my girlfriend. I call him my friend. I call him my lover. Why? Because he loved me so much. And he loves you so much. And I know he loved me because he died for me. Brother, go ahead and walk with it. Tell me something.
Amen, brother. It's good and a blessing to be here. Amen. Back on the air, which has been some time, I know.
Amen. I appreciate
amen.
You, brother.
Amen. But amen. All glory be to the Most High God. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The church, amen, is getting ready to go home. Amen. And as we've been
come
saying.
On,
amen. And as we've been saying, a lot of folks don't want that to happen.
Nope.
Amen.
Nope.
They don't want it to happen. Not for my folks in the church. They enjoy this life too much. Yeah. They making good money.
Yeah.
The world is the most wealthiest that has ever been in the history of mankind. I'm talking about across. You don't have this wealthy people. You have a lot of wealthy people in this world. This world has become wealthy. All over the globe, man is enjoying, and Satan's rule is coming to an end. Amen? Satan's rule is coming to an end.
To an end.
And as you said, it's quiet just before the storm. It's been quiet. Things are quiet down. Amen? You ain't heard much about COVID. They ain't talking about the war much. You don't hear much from China and all the other nations. The threats and stuff is quiet now. But it's always quiet before the storm. The storm is getting ready to happen. Amen. Christ is getting ready to descend and get his church. Amen. They're getting ready to come back and get a church without a spot, a wrinkle, or a blemish. And like you said, if you don't have the love of God, which we know there's a lot of folks that go to church don't have the love of God in them.
Don't have the love of God.
People in church are so fake and phony. Amen. I'm just going to call and tell you what it is. So many fake and phony people in the church talking about they love. They don't have no love. Where is the love? It ain't about
materialistic
things. People are so materialistic now. The love, the word
all
love
the
is just taken out of the equation. It's gone. Love is gone. There ain't love like it used to be in the church. People didn't mind talking to you, hugging you, showing love. Not no more. Everything is conditioned, it seemed like. There's a condition with everything. And the people out here are so money hungry that money is beginning to consume them. And money cannot bring you happiness. Amen. It cannot bring you happiness.
Come on, brother.
There's no way in the world that you're going to be happy, amen, about having money, because money and wealth don't bring you happiness. This is why it's important to receive salvation, because, amen, when you become saved, you have need of nothing. Amen, because this world is what? Not your home. We are just pilgrims passing through a barren land. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. I was talked about yesterday on my show. Amen. The same thing like the brother said, the devil's going to be bound for 1,000 years. Do you know what that means?
Sir.
That Satan can no longer control the so-called elite. The so-called Illuminati would not exist. All these
fraternal orders.
Come on now, talk with me and walk
come
with
on,
all
man.
These
talk
fraternal brotherhoods. When Christ, let me show y'all something. See, I'd like to give some scripture. But is it okay if I take them to Revelation? Is that
okay?
Go
ahead, man. Take the floor. Take it.
Amen. Amen. I want to go to Revelations real quick. The third chapter. I believe it's Revelation, the third chapter. Amen. In fact.
Go ahead, brother.
Amen. Before I go there, it's actually Revelation, the second chapter, I believe it is. Amen. Here's what it said, Revelation. The second chapter, and I'm going to start, amen, let's start at verse 22, and I'm going to read on down. This is what it says, amen. Now, I'm going to start at verse 21, amen. It says, and I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Well, that's just
come
what
on.
We were just talking about. We are in the Babylonian rule. God has given Satan a chance, the demons, he's given the fallen. Not that they have a chance to go back to heaven, amen, but they've had their time to rent and do evil on the face of this planet 6,000 years. 6,000 years they've misled man. 6,000 years since the beginning of the Garden of Eden. See, that's what Satan first misled. Who did he mislead? The woman first, the woman Eve was the first one of mankind to be misled. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. You better hear me now. Everybody always like to say, yeah, but the man was during the garden, but the woman is the weaker vessel. That is just the truth.
Yeah.
That's scripture. Amen. The woman, amen, was deceived first. Amen. And so God has given mankind the opportunity to repent. That's the only reason why Christ has not yet come back, because he's graceful, he's merciful. He don't want to see nobody lost. He don't want to see nobody perish. He don't want to see nobody go to hell. It grieves him when a soul is lost to hell.
Come on,
the angels grieve. Amen. When people lose their soul, they are cheering for you.
Yeah.
They are rooting for you to get saved. Amen. Verse 22 says, behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. He's given man the opportunity to repent. What it means when it says get in the bed of her fornication, well, you know what it is.
Come
when you get in the bed with a prostitute, it's good. It feels good to you. They can make you feel good. they can make your dreams come true. Amen. They can make all your fantasies come to life. That's what prostitutes do.
Come on.
That's how they make their money, by making a dream, your fantasies come to life. That's why most prostitutes are very good-looking women. You see them women, I tell people, I'll tell them, man, you see them women down there in Dallas. Man, I said, it'd be some mind-blowing women walking up and down the street.
Come on,
can be
now.
Somebody's wife. Beautiful women. I'm talking about, man, I'm talking about jaw-dropping women here in Texas. Even down there in Houston when I was here, jaw-dropping women. You couldn't believe that these women were on the street prostituting their body. Let me tell you something about Satan. Satan is an evil, wicked, low-down, dirty, no good for nothing.
Oh, my God. Fix it, boy.
Man, he is low down. When I sit and tell you, when he deceived them, he turned his back on God. Oh, but they gonna pay. You think of that, man, let me tell you right now. I just gonna be real with you. I can't wait till Christ come back. For all this nonsense.
I know that's right. I know that's right.
For all this nonsense to end. I'm just gonna be real with you. The scripture in verse 22 said, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation. Meaning that if you indulge in this worldly sin, drinking, drugging, prostitution, stealing, lying, anything that's with living a life of sin, God said, okay, if that's what you want to be, there's going to be great tribulation.
Yes,
you're
going to
suffer the consequences through God's judgments and punishments. And this world has had 6,000 years of sin under Satan's rule, of deception. You have these secret societies, the so-called Illuminati, the so-called elite. What are they doing? My brother was just, me and my brother was just talking about this past week. He was talking about on his phone. He said, man, my phone alert keeps going off so much. I don't know if they have it up there where you at, Dr. Up North, but I know here in Texas, the alarm go off every time. So it's like someone's kids are kidnapped. You get a notification on your phone. He said, man, my phone been going off all day. The people on the job been talking about it for the past couple of weeks, how there's a man here going around running women off the road, snatching them out of the cars, kidnapping them. I said, Lord, have mercy. They said this kidnapping thing is getting out of hand. Now, they ain't just taking kids. They taking women. Amen. They can't find some women, grown women. I'm talking about this one woman. They said last time they saw her, she went into an apartment with two men. They ain't never heard from her again. Said she never came out. They don't know what happened to her. They don't know if they didn't cut the woman up or what they didn't did to her. Be careful out here, y'all, because the devil is painting a picture about money. People so money on people doing any and everything for money. They committing fraud. They stealing. They robbing from old people. They out here robbing. They setting people up. Be careful out here because the devil is all, they are mad. And when I say they mad, because like the doctor said, his time is near. Amen. We believe it to be this upcoming month of September. Amen. Regardless of when it's going to be, amen, be careful who you are with. Be careful who you associate with. People are setting other people up to be robbed, to be killed. This is what's happening out here when you get into bed with Satan. Great tribulation comes. Amen.
Yes,
as the Bible says, except they repent of their deeds. Turn from your wicked, evil ways. Turn from the wicked, evil ways of the world. From the ways of the world. My dad used to always teach us and tell us, son, turn from the ways of the world. They ain't done nothing in them clubs. He used to tell us that when we were young. Ain't done nothing messing with them fast women. You got to be careful. These men are being set up by these women. They going off. I heard they going off to these hotels getting robbed and killed. Man, be very careful who you deal with. These folks out here, this is what Satan do. He'll make it look good. He'll make it look enticing. But trust me, nothing could come out of it. Nothing good could come from fooling with the devil. Nothing but
come on now.
Satan would have people selling their souls. Oh, man, brother, I was talking about this the other day. I said, the devil think he slick. Man, he got folks selling their soul, and than these folks selling their soul, they dead. It's like, what happened to this person? This person just became famous, and now they dead. Look at all these young rappers and musicians and entertainers just now signing up. They ain't got rich good enough, and the devil taking them out. See, all he wants is your soul. The devil don't care nothing about you. He just wants you to sell your soul for some trinkets.
Woo!
That's what he giving you. He make you seem like he gave you a $100,000 car. I mean, them trinkets compared to what's coming to the saints when God bless us, when he come back to get us. Man, I'm going to tell you, you're going to get eternal life. It ain't worth it. Fooling with the devil. Fooling with these people out in this world. You got to be careful who you hang with. Watch what verse 23 said of Revelation, the second chapter. Christ said, and I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. Can't escape Christ. Christ ain't going to judge you like the world system. It ain't going to be just because you got money, you're going to get off. It ain't going to be because you in a brotherhood like the Illuminati or the so-called elite or fraternal brotherhood that you get off. Man, I've heard people just because they Masons and they certain brotherhoods that they commit crimes, they get off and they get a slap on the hand. Ain't going to be none of that with Christ. Christ, it says that he searches the reins and hearts. In other words, he's going to try you in the fire. Amen. Ain't going to be no funny stuff going on. He ain't going to judge you with man's law. See, people say, oh, you got to obey the law of the land. No, that's the law of the land. It's different from the law of God. The law of God ain't going to let you escape with this nonsense. If you ain't washed in blood, that's what the scripture said. It said if you don't accept, you repent of the – if you ain't washed in the blood, Lord have mercy. You're going to have to give account for your sins. You're going to stand before the great judge, and he says, I will give unto every one of you according to your works. That means the righteous man and the sinner man. If you live for Christ and you believe in your heart and you confess it with your mouth and you wash in the blood, guess what? You're going to reap good rewards. You're going to be that what you do for Christ shall last. He's going to reward you. Great rewards are going to last you for all eternity. You'll never get tired of your rewards. My God, we serve such an awesome God. He's going to give you some blessed rewards. You're going to enjoy that for all eternity. But that which you don't do for Christ, amen, he said, I can't reward you. Ain't nothing I can do. You didn't do the right thing. Amen. But the Bible says because you are saved, amen, you won't suffer loss when it comes to salvation. The Bible says you are saved. Once you're saved, you're saved. Amen. You ain't got to worry about nothing. Amen. Now,
amen.
If you didn't believe and you ain't found washing the blood of the Lamb, Lord have mercy on your soul. You're going to be cast into the lake of fire after judgment. Amen. The great white throne judgment, we know that you're going to be cast into the lake of fire. Amen.
Lake of fire.
Now, before I go any further, I want to read this if I got a little time. I want to read this.
Go ahead.
Amen. I want to read this real quick for you. 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, verse 12 through 15. I'm going to read it again. I'm going to say it again. 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, verses 12 through 15. Now watch what's going to happen to the saints. See, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you become saved. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You're saved. You're going to heaven. Watch what it says what's going to happen. When we are away in that seven-year tribulation, this is what the saints are going to get when we're going through our rewards. It says, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Amen. Now, it's talking to the saints.
Mm-hmm.
This is the foundation for the saints. You either going to reap gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Now, if you ask any man on this planet that has an understanding of worth, amen, you say, brother,
amen,
would you rather be paid in gold, silver, precious stones, or would you rather be paid with wood, hay, or stubble? Again, would you understand the worth, the net worth of a thing? In other words, how much something is worth, an asset. Well, of course, you're going to say, man, I'd rather have gold, silver, and precious stone. Now we're talking about kind of a monetized type of mindset. Man, I'd rather have gold, silver, and precious stones than wood, stubble, wood, hay, or stubble. Amen. Come on now. You better talk to me. Amen. Now watch the Bible. Watch what Paul say. Paul said, every man's work shall be made manifest. In other words, if I'm a saint and a child of the Most High God, everything that I did good, everything that I did bad will be made manifest. In other words, it's going to be brought before Christ. Amen. But understand,
yes, sir,
he's not going to condemn me for the sin. He's just going to say, guess what? This is what he's going to say. Let me read you the scripture.
Come on.
It says, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. How is it going to be revealed? It ain't going to be revealed by man's law.
No, right,
it's
going to
be tried,
right,
by revealed by the fire. And the fire shall try every man's work, what sort it is.
Yeah.
If any,
yeah,
man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. That's why the Bible says only what you do for Christ shall last. In other words, if Timothy, he's witnessing the folks trying to get them saved, amen, talking that good stuff, listening,
amen,
to gospel music, amen, sowing seed, paying his tithes, God said that I'm going to receive a reward. Amen.
Amen.
Christ,
amen,
is going to stand before the great judge. He's going to say, Tim, on this day, this is the good things that you did. Watch what it says. Watch what it says. Verse 15 says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So in other words, the bad things that I did, the Bible says it's going to be burnt up. Christ will say, Tim, I can't reward you for that. See, that day you was cutting up. I can't reward you for that, Tim. It'll be burnt up. I lost my rewards. But the Bible,
yeah,
says that he shall suffer loss. Amen. Tim may suffer loss on that reward.
Yeah,
but he himself shall be. So, no, I'm still going to be welcome into the kingdom of God. Glory,
come on, preacher.
I'm still going to be welcome into the kingdom of heaven. That's what it's talking about. Hey, you,
yeah,
better notice what it's saying. Amen. And if we go back over to,
amen,
Revelation.
Brother.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to go back to Revelation Revelation, the second chapter, verse 23. This is what it says. Amen. Let's read 24. I read 23. Read 24. It says, but unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, Lord have mercy, as they speak, I will put upon you none of the burdens. You have a choice to receive Christ. You have a choice to live for God. You have a choice. The church, you, like the brother said, if you don't have the love of God in your heart, you just going to church, faking and shaking. Oh man, you could be a terror all you want, a fake weak. Amen. Christ is gonna separate. He gonna know, amen, who you are. Amen. Verse 25 says,
amen,
but that which ye have already hold fast till I come. But that which ye have already hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works until the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Look at that. Look at your reward. Your reward is going to continue. Even when you come back to earth, you're going to get rewarded some more. He's going to reward you. You're going to be over nations. You're going to have a high position. Oh, man, you ain't got to worry about how they do you on the job, how they overlook you. See, I done dealt with that for you, how they overlook you, overpay you. They don't want to reward you. They don't want to acknowledge you. That's how the world is. They got the favors and the peace. Oh, I like this person because they look good. I like that person because, you know, the way they look, they're attracted to me. Or they get moved up. They ain't done no hard work. Or maybe somebody getting a promotion because of the color of their skin or their background, their family name or their history. Ain't no more of that. That's going to be all gone. Verse 27 through 29 say? It says, and he shall rule them with the rod of iron. We're not going to worry about the devil no more. Christ is going to rule with the rod of iron in the millennial reign. We're going to come back and rule with Christ for 1,000 years. It is not going to be a demon a devil, a fallen angel, or Satan himself.
Hey,
he won't be able to. It ain't going to be no more secret society. Ain't going to be no more of this bestiality and kidnapping kids and human sacrifice. Ain't going to be no more of that. He going to rule with the rod, or in other words, he going to rule the way it was supposed to be and the way it was meant to be in the beginning when he gave it to Adam. He going to show you how to rule. Ain't going to be racism among men. Amen. Christ going to show us it's going to be paradise on earth. It's going to be paradise on earth. Ain't no getting away with murder and killing. I ain't going to say certain things ain't going to be going on. We know things going to be going on, but as soon as it happens, you ain't going to get off. No, ain't going to be no favoritism just because you look a certain way or because you got money or the color of your skin. Ain't going to be no more of that. There's going to be fair judgment all across the land, all over the earth. Watch what it says. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. This is your time. This is your opportunity to get it right.
Yes, it is.
This is the warning, man. Brother, I know you've been preaching. I've been preaching. I've been telling folks. And the folks take it for a joke. Oh, man, we don't want to scare nobody with that revelation stuff. I'm like, what in the world? You a minister in the church? Brother, if you knew what revelation is, how you know folks don't study and read the Bible or study and read Revelation. If you study and read Revelation, you know there's nothing for the saints to be afraid of. It ain't, see, after chapter 3, the church don't show up again until chapter 19. There's
nothing
to be afraid of.
Ooh,
nothing for
hallelujah.
To be afraid of. Amen. Somebody was saying,
amen.
Talking about we're gonna have to like basically they're gonna say, do you believe in God? And if you say no, they're gonna take your life. I said that's not gonna be until the tribulation. We'll be long gone. That's not for the church. The church is under the grace administration. We're under the grace. Now, does it happen? Yeah, it happens sometimes. But not on a large scale is what I'm saying. They're not going to have boot camps with saints lying on top of them. No, that's only going to be in the tribulation. There's FEMA camps and stuff going to happen. They're going to be loaded. They got the guillotines ready. See, that's in the tribulation. See, the saints will see. Right now is your chance to avoid that right now. All you got to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Christ from the dead. The Bible says, thou shalt be saved. That's it. You won't have to go through that. But those who were faking and playing church and acting like that, and they knew that they didn't have the love of God in their heart, yeah, yes, they're going to have to go through that. They're going to ask them that. Well, I saw you going to church the whole time. Now do you believe in your God? And they're going to have to make a choice. They're going to have to confess if they know Christ or if they reject him. It's also going to be like that after the first 3.5 years going into the mark of the beast. They're going to have to make up
their
mind.
Come on, man. Come on.
Do you accept Christ or do you not accept Christ? And, yeah,
come on,
they're going to be
preacher.
Killing folks left and right. Oh, man.
Left
I
and right.
Right now. The devil has had his fun. The demons have had their fun. The fallen angels have had their fun. It's time is up. Time is up. They had enough.
It's up, brother.
That's it. 6,000 years is up. It's time for Christ to come back and gather up the kingdom and take it up.
Yes, Lord.
And
yes,
we
Lord.
Will be in heaven. We are going to
miss
what the great tribulation is going to bring to this planet. Lord, have mercy. I pray if you are listening to us, I pray that you don't miss this opportunity. Oh, man, this is such a beautiful opportunity to become a child of God. This is the best time right now, I believe, to become a child of God. Any time really is the best time. Amen, because you don't want your soul to be lost.
Amen.
We don't want you to go to
Amen.
Hell. We don't want you to go to the lake of fire. We love you. But there's no way in the world that I or Elder Bazaar would want your soul to be lost. We don't joy in somebody losing their soul. That's such a horrendous thing.
No.
God made a place of darkness that you don't even know exists. You know about hell, but what I'm saying, when I say you don't know exists, you don't know what's there. There's sounds that you've never heard, sounds of terror, people weeping and wailing, hollering and crying, folks that are wishing that their family members don't come there, people that are in hell
now
saying, whatever you do, my brother, my sister, my twin, my lover, my husband, my wife, my family member, my best friend, whatever
you
do, like the brothers say, man, you can go to Vegas, you can go to Hong Kong, you can go to Timbuktu, but whatever. Amen. The brother said, don't go there.
Amen, brother.
Because once you got there, that's it. That's it. Second chance. Ain't no coming back. Ain't no what they call that place when folks try to tell me. What's that place? They say there's a place they say you're supposed to go to get a second chance. I said, man, ain't no such thing.
Purgatory.
Thank you, brother.
Purgatory.
I mean, the folks told me in law, say, do you believe in purgatory? I said, what's purgatory? Well, purgatory is a place that if you don't believe in God now, that God gonna give you a second. If that's the case, everybody be going there. Ain't nobody going to hell if that's the case. Because I'll tell you right now, once you die and go to hell, and you got the choice to go to heaven or be in it, Lord, I want to come. Well, that's everybody. But God gives you your chance now. He gives you the chance. Amen.
Amen.
To receive heaven now. The scripture says in Matthew, the 13th chapter, it says, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a nest that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. Which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast away the bad. Right now, the church, you have the best opportunity because you're in church. I don't understand why somebody want to go to church and not be saved. Amen. Now, don't get me wrong, I did it for many years. I went to church faithfully as a young man. Didn't know I grew up in church. See, people think just because you grew up in church, you're going to be exempt. No. People think it's because your daddy a pastor and your mom played the piano or your folks in the church that you're going to be exempt. No, that's not the way it works. You're not going to automatically get into heaven just because somebody's praying for you. That's not how it works. I've heard people say something about a celebration prayer for a person that. What they gonna do for the person? And they done cause all kind of hell and ramped all kind of evil stuff while they was on the earth. They was just cutting up the whole time they was alive. And you think you gonna pray them into heaven? Lord, have mercy.
Come on.
People are truthfully deceived and believe all kind of nonsense. I'm sitting here to tell you right now, there is no such thing. There is no such thing. You have to get saved right now. Why?
Right now, doctor.
Right now. This is the best chance and opportunity for you to get saved. As we are speaking. You got folks that are mocking, oh, I'm not ready for that. I don't want that. What do you mean? Well, what do you want? Because the world ain't offering you nothing but heartache, stress. The world is evil. They getting over on each other. They killing one another. That they ain't showing no love for one another. Just the other month, I told y'all about a young man. Amen. The brother was down here then. The young man had stood up in church and said that these guys been friends since their childhood. One raised a gun and shot the other one.
No,
supposed to have been friends over some beer. That's what the world, that's what the devil has to offer you. That's what I just read to you over Revelation, the second chapter, verse 22 and 23. This is what the devil does. If you get in bed with the devil, folks love the drinking, love the booze. You ought to hear them on the Josh Hardy talk about, oh, man, I can't wait to go get drunk. Get drunk. Man, you know all kind of stuff that happens to people when they get drunk? Oh, I can't wait to go do some drugs. Folks thought they sniff cocaine and all. I'm like, Lord, I'm a... I ain't saying that I'm better than nobody, but I thank God for his grace.
No.
I thank God that he looked down on me, he saw me, and I thank him for saving my soul. Oh, I can't say it enough. I thank him for saving my soul. And I want the same thing for the people that's out here drinking and drugging and sexing and everything. They in the bed with the devil.
Come on. With
the great whore. They don't know that they die tonight without repenting. The hell will be the home. Instead of instead you laying comfortably in your bed, in a nice warm bed, hell and torments will be your home. Ain't nothing
Lord,
like the brother said. They ain't down there partying in hell like you think. They ain't partying. They're not down there having a good. Ain't no clubs in hell. Ain't no Hennessy and Patron and tequila in hell. Ain't no strip clubs in hell. Ain't no more down there having sex in hell. You may think they are. They ain't doing that. All that you're getting to enjoy is right now. See, them angels.
That's right.
God binds them. He's locked them up in chains in hell, in darkness. The book of Enoch said that they were crying. They said, Enoch, write a petition. Go to God. Petition to God. And tell God to let us out of here, man. Now, imagine that. These are fallen angels. They had the nerve to leave their first estate, to leave heaven. Can you imagine that? To leave comfortable, old, beautiful heaven, to come down and sleep with the women. That's the first mistake they did, that they followed Satan. They rebelled against God. Then when God cast them out, then they didn't stop there. Then they start disrupting Adam and Eve. Satan disrupted them. Then they start sleeping with women. They came down and
come
made
on,
babies with the children of men, the daughters of men, and created giants. So their spirit went into them that were born into their seed, which when they died, they became demons. Now, they've done all this abominable, evil stuff before God. And then when God, that's how people are. Did God give you a chance? Oh, but once it's too late, it's too late. Did God give you a chance? Did God a second? See, they didn't want to stop. They just kept on. And then they had the nurse say, Enoch, can you go to God for me? No, it's too late. I'm going to get ready to turn back over to the brother. Family, before I go, and I'm going to still be on here listening to you, doctor.
All right.
Before I go, amen. Please change. Change your life while you got a chance. Amen.
Well, you got a chance.
This is your opportunity to hear God. The Holy Spirit is speaking to your soul. I'm speaking to you. The watchman on the wall. We want you to become saved. We want you to live for all eternity in peace and happiness. I can tell you right now, there's people in hell. They are being tormented. And get this. Your spirit don't get to sleep. Spirits don't sleep.
No.
They're not in a decaying body. This body needs to have rest. Souls don't rest. So I couldn't imagine being in hell for 50 years, 100 years, 1,000 years, 2,000 years. For all men, they get it. People been there since the beginning. They getting it. Torment. And all that screaming and hollering and pain and suffering and seeing family members, people that you know, people that you don't know. Lord, have mercy. Go ahead, doctor. I'm going to give it back to you. I'm going to talk to you later. I'm going to be listening. Lord, have mercy. Go ahead.
All right.
Take it away.
All right. I thank you, brother. I thank you, brother, for walking in on me, giving me some input. Thank you for the word. You're coming from the word. You're coming from Revelation, and that book, I'm kind of staying on Revelation because that's the next thing that's coming up. That's the next event that's coming up because the church age is done. It's done. We done went through seven church ages. That covers a period of 2,000 years from the Church of Ephesus all the way over to Laodiceans. And the Laodicean church exists today, and that is the lukewarm church. That is the hypocritical church. That's the church that's playing with God. That's the church that's teasing God. That's the church that's tempting God. That's the church that Jesus Christ says, if you don't repent, I will remove. I will remove the candlestick. I will put the light out because you refuse to receive any more light. And the light is that y'all are neither hot, neither cold. You're lukewarm. You're playing with me. You're in a condition that needs to be changed. What condition were these Laodicean church in? Let's see what the Bible got to say about the condition of this church. He said in the 17th verse of the third chapter of the book of Revelation, speaking on the last church age, he said, because thou says, I am rich, rich, materialistic. I am rich. I got so much stuff that I could throw away half of it and still have too much. I've got money. I got houses. I got, oh, man, you know, it's like, seems like I just own the whole world, all that I got. He said, I am rich and increased with goods. Got all kind of goodies. Oh, man, you got real estate. You got, woo, you got stuff on top of stuff. And have need of nothing. You say, I ain't got no need for nothing. I got all the materialistic stuff I got. I got more than I can bear. I got more than I need. I got more than if somebody come and steal something in my house, I won't even know it's missing. I've got so much that what do I need? Don't need nothing else. And have need of nothing, and know it not. This is what he said. And know it not that thou art wretched. A sinner is wretched. A sinner is doomed if he don't repent. A sinner is lost. A sinner does not know God. A sinner have not accepted the blood of Jesus Christ. The sinner may have a form of godliness, but they don't have the power of the Holy Ghost through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So they are wretched. And a wretched person is a person that don't have no hope. And the world today, without Christ, without Christ, there is no hope. There is no way to escape the wrath of God without Jesus Christ. The only escape that you can get that's free is through the cross, through the burial, through the death, through the suffering, through his birth, through his miracles. All that Jesus Christ had done and went back to heaven is proof that he is the Son of God. Not if, not thinking about it, but he is the Son of God. He is the Rose of Sharon. He is the lily of the valley. He is the bright and morning star. He is the bread from heaven. He is the living water. He is my hope. What you talking about, man? You have no need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, you are miserable. Woo! Don't you know Hollywood is miserable? Hollywood is miserable. The football players, basketball players are miserable. They're miserable. Why do you think they out there playing that ball? They want money. They're playing for money. They ain't playing for no recreation. They ain't playing for their health. They're playing for money. They're playing for women. They're playing for have a good time. They're playing for parties. They're playing for riches. What you talking about? They're miserable. They're miserable. A sinner is a miserable person. And the only way that sinner can become a joyful person, a loving person, a thankful person, a person of compassion, The only way that he can become a person out of that miserable situation that he's in, come on to the cross, man. Bow your sin bending knees before the blood of Jesus Christ and plead the blood of Jesus Christ that it may be shed abroad in your heart, that you can be set free from sin, death, and hell. Don't you know another thing? Hell is miserable. Oh my God. Hell is the most miserable place that you can think of in the human vocabulary. Hell is a place of beyond misery. One thing about hell, it is hot. It is liquid hot. It is divine fire making retribution for a sinful soul that have rejected the plan of salvation through Jesus Christ that paid for his sin, and that sinner is in hell because he refused to accept the free gift of Jesus Christ, and so now he's got to pay for what? His own sins, his own whoremongers. His own fornication, drug addict, liar, homosexuality, lesbianism. He's got to pay for his own sin. He's got to make his own retribution forever. One thing is hot. Number two, it's forever. Oh, my God. Hell is forever. There ain't no such thing as extinction. It ain't something as you eternal to destroy. No, eternal destruction means that you will face destruction for eternity. Jesus said, hell, there's going to be a lot of gnashing and gashing of teeth. Nobody will be able to escape the wrath of God. And you're poor. You're poor in spirit. You might have materialistic gain, but you're poor in spirit. And don't you know a sinner is poor? Is poor in spirit? Do not have the spirit of God in his life? Don't have love? Don't have peace? Don't have joy? Don't have the fruits of the spirit? Don't have nothing? Don't have nothing but their own way of trying to find joy. The world is trying to find joy through women, trying to find joy through all kinds of crooked deals that they're making, trying to find joy in everything, but they ain't going to find it. It's not there. It only gives you pleasure for a season, but after it's over, it's damnation and blind. He said these people are blind. These people that have a church formality and go to church is blind. Blind on what? Blind on who Jesus Christ really is. Who he is. Who is he? He's the Son of God. He's God in the flesh. God became human just like I am. Who knew no sin. Who never sinned. But he became sin. That through his pure, sanctified, holy, took the penalty of sin and was crucified. He was stretched out on a piece of timber. He was hung high. Every bone was out of joint. Muscles had stretched. Face had beaten beyond recognition. Blood everywhere, blood streaming down his body, covered with all kinds of whip marks, 39 stripes on his backside, looked like hamburger, face all disfigured. What? The penalty of sin. That's what sin does to your soul. It destroys your soul. It destroys your character. It destroys the image of God. And the God I serve got a holy image. He's got a righteous image. He's got a sanctified image. He's got a righteous image. And Satan said, I'm going to destroy that image of God through the soul, through the spirit. I'm I'm going to do it with sin. I'm going to cause this person to disobey God and do what he want to do. And when he gets through doing what he want to do, and if he died in that condition, without repenting of his sin, he would have to pay in hell for his own sins. I don't want to pay for my own sins, and you don't want to pay for your own sins neither. And if I was you, and I know that I wasn't saved, and I know I need Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I would accept him today, because tomorrow is no guarantee that Brother Bazaar to be here. And I'm not afraid to die. I'm not afraid to die. I have my ticket. I have my loving Savior who saved me with an everlasting salvation, everlasting love, everlasting joy, everlasting peace, everlasting hope, everlasting. And I know one day, and it won't be long, you're going to look for me and I'll be gone. I'm going to heaven to sing and shout. And nobody there will be able to put me out. Walk the streets of gold. I'm going to see Jesus for myself. I'm going to see him as he is, for I shall be like him. And when he come back again, when he come back and get the church, I'm going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And the church will be gone forever until 7 years later. And after the 7 years are over, I'm coming back to earth. And when I come back to earth, I'm going to be riding a white horse. I'm going to be riding with the captain of King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm going to be high. I'm going to be riding with the Almighty. I'm going to be riding with the chief counselor. I'm going to be riding with the Prince of Peace, and he's going to come down here after the 7 year tribulation is over. And let me tell you, this here. America, get ready to start making computer chips. America is getting ready and manufacturing computer chips. Next year, they will have factories in the United States, and they are going to be making computer chips that they can syringe into your hand or into your forehead. They are going to sell your soul, because that's what's coming up in the tribulation period. There will be a lot of soul selling. And the Illuminati now is already buying souls. The devil is buying souls in Hollywood, in the government. The devil is selling people's souls. And during this last part of the 3.5 years, which equals 42 months, 1,260 days, and tell me it's going to be hell on earth. They're going to make a plan that they will receive a mark on their forehead or on the back of their right hand between their thumb and their forefingers. And they're going to make an executive order that if you do not receive this mark, if you do not receive this computer chip, there's about 235 million people, 345 million people in the United States, 345 million people in the United States. But it's going to be a decrease when the rapture comes. I don't know how many are going, but I know one thing, I'll be there. I'll be there when they crown him Lord of Lords and King of Kings. I'll be there, because Jesus said, I'm already got your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I'm rejoicing this evening, not because demons can be cast out, a scorpion be stepped on. I'm rejoicing because my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And by that, when the roll call and the trumpet blow, I'm going to be changed in a moment of a twinkling of an eye. Why don't you say amen? This old mortal body, this old body of clay, this old body that's wearing out, this old body will be changed in a moment of a twinkling of an eye from mortal body to immortality. And then I can say, oh, death, where's your sting? Oh, grave, where's your victory? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Why don't you come on in and receive this gift? It's free. It's free. America getting ready for war. China getting ready for war. Russia getting ready for war. Iran is getting ready for war. Ethiopia getting ready for war. Libya is getting ready for war. Gomer is getting ready. Germany is getting ready for war. Turkey is getting ready for war. Why? Because there's a World War III coming. And the leaders will be Gog and Magog, Meshach and Tubal. Putin is getting ready. He's getting ready. He's getting ready for the army. He's got five nations that's already getting ready to link up and shake hands and make a covenant that they will link up with Gog and Magog. And after he gets connected up with Gog and Magog, they're going to think of evil thought and come down from the north. And when they come down from the north, they want to get to the Middle East. And Putin says, if I can get Jerusalem, I can rule the world. Why? Because the richest land in the land, the richest land on the face of the earth is in the Middle East, because God has blessed that land. That land has potash, which is fertilizer. It has oil. It has gas. It has vegetables and fruit. It has cattle. It has sheep. There's plenty of water over there, because the Jews know how to preserve the land. And by them preserving the land, they tell me Russia is short in oil. They're short in food. They're short in medical care. They're short in everything. And they want to get to the Middle East to capture Jerusalem. But let me tell you, it's going to ignite World War III. It's going to ignite World War III. Come on. Come on, preachers. Come on, deacons. Come on, choir singer. Come on, young folks. Wake up. Wake up. Jesus Christ is getting ready to come back. And he will come back, because war is on the horizon. The Antichrist is here, alive, waiting for what? Waiting for the removal of the body of Christ, because he cannot come while the church is still here. He cannot come. He's already here now. I can tell you the country that he's in. He's in the country of Spain. Tell you his name. Name is King Felipe. He's the son of Juan Carlos. Juan Carlos is a descendant of Esau and Jacob. They were brothers. And Esau was caught by the heel by Jacob, and Jacob, amen, stole Esau's birthright, which are Spanish people. And there was a time called Jacob's trouble in the Old Testament. The Old Testament says Jacob was running from Esau because Esau was stole from his birthright and stole from his inheritance, and Esau was going to wipe out the whole family of Jacob. Until Jacob wrestled with the Lord God Almighty, called the angel of the Lord one night. And he wrestled till the dawn of day. And the Lord said, let me go, Jacob. Let me go. And Jacob said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And you know I'm still wrestling with God. I'm wrestling with him all day long. I wrestle him asleep. I wrestle. Why? Because I'm not going to let you go. Because until you bless me, and he's been blessing me ever since then. Yes, King Felipe, the king of Spain, is the Antichrist. I got a picture of him. I got a portfolio of him. He's got 10 languages that he can speak. He stands at 6'6". 6'6". Got 6 letters in his name. And in his whole name, each name that he had has 6 letters in it. He will come on the scene through the permission of the Jewish people. The Jewish people know that Christ is coming, and they are going to accept the Antichrist before they accept Jesus Christ. They're going to believe that this Antichrist, King Felipe, is Jesus Christ, because he's going to claim that he is Jesus Christ, and he's going to come and bring a covenant with him and sign with the Jewish people that he will protect them for 7 years. And the Jews will accept that because they're getting ready. Good God Almighty, listen to what I'm saying. The Jews are getting ready to build a temple. They got the material. They almost got the Ark of the Covenant. They got the priesthood ready. They got the menorah ready. They got everything in place prepared to rebuild the third temple. Because the Jews have to have a temple before Christ comes. They got to try. Listen to what I'm saying. They got to try to restore Judaism. Because they still don't believe that the Christ that came the first time is the true Christ. But they will believe this false Christ that's going to come in the name of Christ and claim to be Christ. Because Jesus Christ said, the time of the Pharisees and Sadducees, he said, look, I know what y'all planning to do. He said, y'all won't accept me, and I come in my Father's name. But there's another one coming, going to come in his own name. Y'all are going to receive. And what Jesus was talking about, he was talking about the Antichrist will come in his own name, and the Jews will build a temple so they can say and claim that this is the true Christ, and he will sign a covenant with them, and in the middle of the tribulation period, he will break that covenant. He will eliminate that covenant because it's a covenant of death. And by him making that covenant with death, he's going to break it, and when he break it, guess what? The Antichrist will be killed. He will be shot through the head by an assassin bullet in the middle of the tribulation, and the demons in heaven and the principalities in heaven will be cast out of heaven for the first time over the period of 6,000 years, and the devil and his angels and his cohorts and his demons and his demigods and his satyrs and his off-brand wicked angels will invade earth. There's going to be an invasion. The devil is going to invade this earth. He's coming down here. He's coming down here, and he is going to resurrect the Antichrist with the deadly wound in his head and cause him to stand up on his feet after 3 days and three nights after being in the grave. And Satan will energize himself and reincarnate himself in the body of the Antichrist and raise him from the dead, and when he gets up, he will become the beast, and he will say that he is God Almighty. He will say that he's God Almighty, and the temple will be desecrated, abomination, desolation. The Antichrist will go into the temple, and he will desecrate it. He will remove the Ark of the Covenant and sit on the throne and consider himself to be God Almighty, and the world will say, this is God Almighty. And the Antichrist will make an executive order that the whole world will fall under his satanic powers. And the world will believe that this man is actually God Almighty. Where is that in the Bible? That is in the Bible, in the book of Thessalonians. Let's see what it says. In the book Thessalonians, the second chapter. Amen. in the book of Thessalonians. You got it right here, looking right straight at it. Here we go. Here it is. This is what it says. It says in the second chapter, of 2 Thessalonians. I beseech you, brethren, by what? The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, be ye not soon shaken in mind or in be in trouble, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Listen what it says. Well, that day shall not come. And when it comes, it says this. He will what? Set in the temple. Third chapter says, let no man deceive you by any means. That day shall not come except there be a falling away first, and that man's sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that he is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple. That's the temple that the Jews are preparing now of God, showing himself that he is God. In the middle of the tribulation, the Antichrist will become the beast. He will say that he's God Almighty. He will sit in the temple, and he will kick off the mark of the beast by a computer, half human and half machine, that will tell everybody those that will worship the Antichrist must receive a mark on the back of their hand or on their forehead. It's called the mark of the beast in the middle of the tribulation period, and it will cause you to do one thing or the other. One, two, if you accept the mark of the beast, that means you rejected the blood, the sacrifice, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and you receive that mark, your soul will be damned forever in hell. If you refuse that mark, you will be beheaded for the faith that you will have in Jesus Christ to escape the wrath of God by accepting Jesus Christ in the part of the last part of the tribulation period. That is fact. That is reality. Because America now is getting ready to manufacture computer chips. My friends, that's the word of God tonight.